They're still making fun of me because I didn't hook my iPad up last night. You see, what the problem with this is it's all right to not have it plugged up for today. I can make it through that. You know, I can sit there and say I messed up. But the problem is my sister told me last night to make sure that iPad was charged because we got to sing tonight. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get it charged before tonight. It's an old iPad, so you got to kind of baby it a little bit. So, and that's got every song we sing on that iPad. And she's going to kill me if I don't figure out a way to charge that between now and then. So preaching may be real short because I'm going to have to go get me a charger before day's up. No, I was planning on singing something, and then that didn't work out, so I apologize. But I will sing something next week. You can just put your truck up right here. We'll be able to hear the truck. Oh, you got a charger. Well, amen to that. No, it's all right. It'll be fine. I really don't care if it dies. It makes my sister cringe, but I like to keep her on edge a little bit. Keeps things interesting. So I like it. But I was traveling down this morning, and I listened to the radio station. I have no idea. Good Time Gospel. What is it? Good Time Gospel? And I like that radio station. He came back. He wanted to hear me preach so bad, he came back. He just wanted to be with his mama. Like Walker, he just wants to be with his mama all the time. But I called in a song because, one, I'm supposed to be learning it before tonight that I don't know it yet. So I needed to hear it again. But two, I heard it this past couple of weeks ago, and I really just fell in love with the song. It's called I Call It Home, but the chorus of the song says, some call it heaven, and I call it home. Some call it dreaming, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, and I call it home. I just like calling it home. You see, I know what I have to look forward to in this life. And one day, I'm going to finally reach home. I'm going to get there. You see, Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and as a 9-year-old boy, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And the day's coming when I get to go home. I like that part. The part that really got me was some call it dreaming. Yeah, they do, don't they? They make fun of you sometimes. Home. I'd rather just dream on because, you see, I know what my eternity holds. They may not know what their eternity holds, but I know what mine holds. I get excited when I hear songs like that, and I apologize again. I'll sing next week, hopefully, and if I can remember to charge stuff. This morning, I'm preaching a little bit of a different kind of thing. You know, I'm not much of a 3 points in a poem kind of guy, so I just kind of go through and read and study and read and study, and God just says, here, take that, run with it. You might hear another sermon, you go, I'm going to steal that. You know, everybody says, you ought not steal people's sermons. Your sermons ought to be worth stealing. Amen. Hallelujah. If it ain't worth stealing, wasn't much to it, was it? Yeah, I ain't got no problem stealing people's sermons, but sometimes you listen to people and you hear things and you're like, man, that's good, and you start studying it. You start reading it. And you go, man, that's good stuff. So this right here may just have been for me, but because God got on me about it, I'm going to let him get on you about it for a little while. Sometimes when God just gets on the preacher so hard, sometimes you just want him to get on somebody else just to give you some relief. I worked a lot this week, and, you know, sometimes when you get to work and you get busy, you don't have as much time to study as you feel like you need to, and that's hard for a preacher. You may not understand that, and you may not ever understand it, but it's hard for a preacher to feel like, you know, he just couldn't give it quite enough. It's not that I wasn't trying. It's not that I don't mean well, but sometimes it just ain't enough hours in the day. But God gave me this, and kind of sitting there listening to them turkeys yesterday morning, and I tell you right now, I'd have stopped turkey hunting to do this. it got that good. I pick and joke. I mean, I'd rather turkey hunt than just about eat, but ain't nothing like that book. So take your Bibles this morning, turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Such familiar scriptures. You've read them your whole life. You've heard them in Sunday school growing up, I'm sure. But we're going to kind of look at it a little bit differently because I'm weird like that. So we're going to look at it on a little different point of view. Exodus chapter 2, starting in verse 1. That's the second book in the Bible. It's not hard to find, I promise. Some of y'all still searching. Scared me. Levi. You remember I said I like to chase them rabbits every once in a while? It's one of them rabbits right here. This right here is pretty good if you think about, you know, you ought to find somebody when you're getting ready to get married. Some of y'all already married. Some of you been married. Some of you looking to get married. But the ones of you looking to get married, you ought to find somebody that you kind of line up with. Now, ones that are married can tell you that's important. You know, you ought to find you somebody. And I'm not saying they got to agree with you on everything. But if you believe the Bible and you are a Christian and you're trying to see souls saved, you ought to find you one like that. Because it'll save you in the long run. It'll save you a whole lot of heartache. You say, well, we don't like that kind of preaching when you start talking about all that kind of... Somebody ought to talk about it every once in a while. I'm just here to tell you, it'd do you good to find you somebody that's kind of like-minded a little bit. Somebody that you can actually get in there and do things for God, and you both have that same thing. Both of you have that same drive to see souls saved. It'll help you. I'm going to jump off of it, I promise. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said her sister to the Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse, Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother and Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. I thank you for this Word of God, Lord, that I can hold in my hand. This infallible and inerrant Word of God, Lord, that I can trust, Lord, that I can get something out of it, Lord, because it's a living book. And I thank you so much for the opportunity again, Lord. I pray that you just put me aside for just a little while, Lord. Just let you come through, Lord. Just help you let you give something to these people, Lord. I can't do it, but you can. I pray that they just get something out of the Word of God this morning, Lord. If somebody's not saved, Lord, they'd get saved before it's eternally too late, Lord. Just pray that you just have one more just walk down that aisle, Lord. We give you all the honor and praise for it this morning, Lord. I pray that you'd encourage the people here this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. These familiar scriptures, you're talking about Moses here. And you could preach on for days and months and years about Moses. And it's good preaching. The reason why you hold the Word of God in your hand started off with Moses. Amen. It started there, and that's good. And you know all the things that Moses went through, man. He got to see God in His glory. Yeah, he saw the hindsight of Him, but he saw Him in His glory. That's good. He let God's people out. That's real good. And you know, you've heard all the stories of Moses, and you've heard that whole thing, and you've seen it go through, and those are all good, and I could preach on them, and I'd have a good time. But I don't want to talk about Moses so much this morning. I want to talk about an unnamed mother. An unnamed mother. A mother that they didn't even put her name in here. Didn't even put her name down. Just said she was a daughter of Levi. An unnamed mother. You see, when you get to look into this story and you start breaking son. And you know, back in that day and age, you know, son was very important. She had already had a daughter. We know we can see that in the story. She had already had a daughter, but she wanted a son. Somebody that could carry it on. Carry on that family name. That was important to them at that day and age. It's still important to us nowadays. I'm glad that I had a son that could carry on the Pullen name. Not that it means a whole lot, but it's just good. I like it. And I can imagine this unnamed mother. She got on her knees before God and said, "Hey, God, just give me a boy. God, could you just give me a boy? Man, the things he could do, God. Maybe you'd let him teach Sunday school classes. Maybe you'd let him just work around the church and he'd be helpful to people. Maybe you'd let him be able to sing a little bit. He could sing the specials. He could lead the music. Help. Maybe he's just a good person. Maybe he has just a regular job, but you blessed him in that and he can tithe to the church and he can help it. However it is, God, maybe you can just use him a little bit. If you just give me a boy, God, I'd appreciate it." I can imagine she's down there just begging God for one. But in this time, old Pharaoh comes along. And God's people, Israel, they're making him nervous. There's too many of them. We got to get rid of some of them. They're going to take over. Ain't that just like it is today? Everybody trying to get rid of Israel. Nobody wants to have part of that little piece of dirt over there, you know? That's still God's people. Newsflash, America ain't in the end, folks. But Israel is. It's good, trust me. That little piece of dirt's important. You amen me all you want to, brother. I'll preach for 2 hours off your amens. But old Pharaoh, he done made this decree that, hey, we're going to get rid of all these baby boys. We're going to try to cut this thing out a little bit. And God gives her this baby boy. And this unnamed mother goes about her days and she's trying to hide the blessing that God gave her. It was a good blessing. It was something good, folks. It was something that she wanted. It was something that God answered her prayers. It was a good blessing. You ever been there? Your blessings ever got too big for you to handle? You see, that's where it hit me this week. God's blessed me with so much. God's allowed me to do so much. And sometimes I try to control it. I try to manipulate it and I try to make it fit the way I want it to fit and work out the way I want it to work out. The blessing gets too big though. Why? Because you don't give it to God. You try to hold on to it. You try to control it. You try to manipulate it. We always get we get the point where we come down to the altar and we say, "Hey God, I got this problem, I got this care, and you said cast it on you," and we get that part, but we don't give him the good things. We hold on to them. They come from God. They're blessings from God, but you hold on to them like you can control it. And then they get too big for you. They get too big for you. And this mother is trying to hide this blessing the best she can. I can just imagine she's sitting there telling him, make sure he doesn't cry. Make sure that he doesn't make any noise, because the waters are just filled with babies. It's hot. They're taking them from their mothers that feed them. They're starving to death. They're throwing them in the water. They're drowning. The crocodiles might be eating them. It's bad, folks. It's a bad situation. And she knows this blessing from God. Why does it have to be this way? Ooh, I've been there. Not too long ago, I was there. Not too many years ago, I remember when COVID hit and churches shut down. And I remember every little church trying to find a pastor, because it seemed like every pastor quit when COVID hit. I don't know why. I guess it was a good time to get out. And I remember sitting down beside my bed on my knees and saying, God, why would you call me to preach in this day and age? Why in the world would you call me to preach now? Why would you put on my heart to pastor a church when they're all going through this stuff? I don't know how to deal with it. God, I don't know what the right thing is to do all the time. I watched my dad struggle through that. I watched him have to sit there and say, hey, we can't have church because I've got seven people. I got seven families that have COVID right now. We just can't meet in this building right now. And I remember watching him cry and weep over that situation. Why? Because it was hard. It's hard to sit there and go, I know we shouldn't shut it down, but I don't know what else to do. I remember my dad preaching on a Kubota side by side. On Facebook. My dad hates Facebook. And I remember him preaching just so that they could get the Word of God. I remember him preaching in the parking lots. I remember having church at our farm. I remember them people driving up in the middle of those pastures just so my dad could preach to them, just so we could do things the right way where people wouldn't have to be so close to each other. I remember him going through that process. I remember the families dropping off one by one by one by one because they were scared to come to church. Why would God call me to preach at this time? I've been there. Maybe you never dealt with anything like that. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me that's been through that. I don't think so. I got a feeling you probably dealt with some things in your life that have been a little bit tough. Maybe you were trying to do the right thing. It was a blessing from God, but it got too heavy. Why? Because you tried to control it. It was your thing. It's what you asked for. And it got too heavy. And then you have this blessing that gets too heavy. She doesn't know what else to do. So what does she do? She decides to take this baby and put it in this. You sit there and you think about how it was made, and you get to looking at some of those things, and she sealed that ark so that it would float. If she hadn't sealed it, it would have sunk. And I know there's some application of different biblical things in these scriptures, but just to keep it where it's at. Just don't let him drown to death like everybody else did, God. Maybe I'll just put him in this thing and he'll just go to sleep and it'll be over. And I think, in a way, she made a coffin. What we would call a coffin. That's basically what she's done. You see, she didn't intend for anything to get it back out. She just intended it to be done. And you can imagine that she is struggling as she's building this thing. The hurt and the pain that she's going through as she's knowing she's going to have to put her baby boy that she prayed so much for into this coffin. But it has to be done, because not too long ago, she probably hurt her neighbor as they took her baby boy. And God, I just can't go through that. I can't listen to him scream as they drag him away. And I can imagine the people sitting there, and you can hear the family in the other room saying, "No, God, don't let them take my baby." And I can imagine this is going through that unnamed mother's ears. So she builds this ark. And she lays that baby down there, and she tells him, "You know, I don't want to do this, Moses. I don't want to do this. I don't want to end like this, but I don't have a choice." And I get Moses as a baby, and the baby doesn't understand, but she's trying to explain it. And really, she's trying to explain it to God. Let's just get real. She's just trying to explain it to God. "Hey, I don't want to do this, but I don't know what else to do, God. I thought you'd have a plan for him. I thought you'd let him do something. I thought you'd let him become something. I thought he'd be a great man of God one day, but now you've brought me. Just let him go." And she lays him down in that basket. She seals it up and she puts it there by the riverbank. And she walks off. And Moses' sister's sitting over there afar off, and she's just watching it, sitting there saying, "I wonder if a crocodile will smell him. I wonder if he'll just quit moving so much. I wonder if the tide's going to pick up and maybe it's going to rush him away. Just kind of want to know how it ends." And old Pharaoh's daughter walks up. You can imagine the sister sitting there going, "Oh no, God, don't let that happen. Boy, God, don't let her find him. We just about got this thing settled where he can just die in peace. Why would you? No, don't let her find him. Don't let Pharaoh's daughter find him. Please, God, that's not how it's going to work. That's going to be awful. That's what you do, right? Let's get real. Come on, that's what you do. When you're sitting there and you're going, hey, God, I got this figured out. It'll be fine. Don't let it go that way. I've got control over my family. I've got control of my kids. I've got control of my finances. Don't mess with it, God. I got it." But then it gets too heavy. And then it starts to fall apart on you. And I can imagine this Pharaoh's daughter comes up and she says, hey, give me that basket. Pharaoh's daughter sitting there and says, "Open it up. Let's see what's inside of this thing." And they open it up. About the time she opens it up, that baby screams. You know them, when the baby is first born and you're sitting there and you hear that first cry, that cry don't really bother you all that much. Now, the 100 other ones that happen after that bothers you. But that one right there is like, man, that's my boy. That's my girl. Boy, that's what I've been praying for. I've been praying for that healthy baby, and you're just waiting for that first cry. And you can imagine that first cry out of Moses' mouth, and it touches that girl. She had compassion on Moses, a Hebrew. The one her daddy said, "Throw in the pond." The one her daddy said, "Hey, you need to get rid of them. That's going to be a problem." Hey, the one that her daddy said, "Hey, we should kill them all." God's plans are not always your plans, right? The prayers you pray may not get answered the way you think they ought to. So you got this situation going on, and the sister's watching it unfold, and all of a sudden, they say, "We're going to keep this baby. And not only that, we got to find somebody to feed this baby. We got to find a Hebrew mother that can feed this baby." And they go searching for one, and they find one. And who they find? Moses' mama. An unnamed mother. Can you imagine when she's sitting there beside the riverbank and she's got this basket in her hand and she's begging God that it could be different? She's saying that she didn't want it to be this way. She didn't want it to end up this way. Can you imagine the release of that basket and all the pain that went through that woman. All the emotions that filled her at the time of the release of that basket. She just wanted him to be something. And all the emotions flutter. But can you imagine the emotions when they run in there and say, hey, we got this baby that we found over here by the river. And we need somebody to feed that baby. Pharaoh's daughter wants him. Pharaoh's daughter's going to keep him. Pharaoh's daughter wants to raise him. But we need somebody just to feed him. Hey, and if you'll feed him, we'll pay you for it. Well, that's good, ain't it? I never really looked at that much, but I sat there and I thought, you know what? Not only did she have a baby that she wanted, but she gets to feed the baby that she had, and she got paid to do it. We lose money when we have babies. She got paid for having it. Boy, that's like God, ain't it? She let go of this basket. Because God had a different plan. That unnamed mother didn't see it. That unnamed mother didn't see the fact that God was sitting there saying, hey, you know what? He's got to be found by Pharaoh's daughter. And he's got to be raised in that palace because he's got to lead my people out. You see, I'm going to make something out of him if you just give him to me. If you'll just trust me just a little bit with what you've got, I'll make it work for you, I promise. If you're just willing to get up and go tell somebody else about Jesus Christ, guess what? I'll make something out of it. Will it always be easy? No. But if you just give it to me, I promise I'll make something out of it. I promise I can show you the glory of God. I promise you I can show you that I can use this situation. Although it seems so bad over here. Boy, driving an hour and a half is tough and gas prices are jacked up out of the roof. It seems awful, but Bree came down last week and boy, that made every bit of the money I spent worth it. And I'd spend it 10 times. 100 times just for that one. I'd do it 1,000 times over. Why? Because God has a bigger plan. When I first started talking to you, I bet y'all didn't know that was going to happen, did you? Y'all had no idea who I was. It's some good dude from Sings with Gold City. That's what everybody else says. I don't care if I can preach. I don't care about anything else. He sang with Gold City. He must be all right. Maybe he'll sing us a song or two. Maybe he'll sing Midnight Cry one more time. We'll get to hear that trumpet. But you didn't know that was going to happen, though. But it's worth it, wasn't it? It was worth it. It was worth letting some guy that's not that good a preacher come up here and preach for you just see that one come walking down that aisle. You had to let go of a basket. You have to let go of things in your life that you think you're trying to control. When I was working at the hospital, I worked for a lady that was, she was over the lab area, and her daughter had been dealing with cancer. And she told us about it, and she's like, if y'all pray about it, I'd like y'all to pray about it. And some of us did, and some of us actually cared about that kind of stuff. Some people maybe not so much, but we prayed about that situation, asked God to help her. And she'd send newsletters and updates about things that were happening in her life, things that were going on. Now at this point in time, she has already passed on. I think she passed on about 2 years ago or a year ago. But I read a newsletter that she had done back in 2018, and it was good. And if you want to read the whole newsletter thing, you're more than welcome to. I'll let you read the whole thing. But I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read just a part of it. And but it was so good because she gets over and she's talking about, you know, Colossians 3:2, where it says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And she's talking about, you know, giving things up. She's talking about letting go of that basket like we see in this unnamed mother that she had to do. And she's talking about all these things that have this release that you've got to do in your life. And she's talking about giving up the things that are so important to you. And she starts off this article and she says, looking back, I see the Lord preparing me, even this past summer. He has been working to loosen my grip on small earthly things that at times were idols and identity for me. A clean house, accomplishing my to-do list, among many other things. I am grateful to have walked through that process. And it hit me right there because I was like, man, that's exactly what we do. We are so worried about our to-do list. We're so worried about the next yard. I cut 5 yards yesterday after I got done turkey hunting like to die. Wished I would have a couple of times. But we got to get everything done. We got to get all this stuff accomplished. And it seems so important to us. I've got to make sure my career path is set up exactly the way that it needs to be. And I got to make X amount of dollars so that I can. They become so controlling in your life that you don't let God have all those things. And she's sitting here and she's saying, you know, it worked in her life to just let those things go and let God have them. Let God have those situations. She says, now I feel the struggle and the tension as he continues this process and loosening my grip on good earthly things. My kids, my marriage, my life. Berland is his, and my life is his. He loves them more than I ever could, and he will care for them better than I ever will. My faith increases as my grip on these things is loosening. He is faithful, he is sufficient, he is sovereign, he does not make mistakes. He is helping me to see the eternal instead of the earthly. You see, she got it. She understands that the most important things are the eternal. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 16, the Bible says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If you can get your mind wrapped around the things that you can't see are eternal, and get your mind wrapped around that heaven is coming, and that's your eternity if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you wrap your mind around that right there, it will change your life. It will change your view on the things you think are so important. It'll make things like her basket become a little bit easier to let go. It'll make you sit back and go, you know what, God, I understand this is tough. I can't give my children to him. I don't want to give my children. I want to control that thing, but I've got to give my kids to him. Why? Because he'll make something out of them. I've got to give my marriage to God. I can't control it anymore. You've been married longer than about 5 minutes. It's hard. She don't ever do anything you want to do. And I can say that because she ain't here right now. And if I wanted her to know, I'd tell her myself. It's hard. It's tough when you got two identities trying to become one, right? But you try to control it, right? You try to manipulate the situations. You try to make this person this way and this person that way. And he needs to be like this, and she needs to be like that. But if you just say, hey, God, why don't you just take my marriage? Hey, God, why don't you just take this marriage and make it work? You know, he can do that in a bad marriage. I don't hit on that very much. You ask God to give you the person that you're supposed to have, man, that works out great. But sometimes we don't wait. Sometimes we just jump in. Some of y'all are like, Those marriages are tougher. Hey, God can fix those too. You just have to give them to Him. May not be the way you think it, but God can fix it. God can help you. You sit there and you got them kids that you don't know what to do with, and they're driving you nuts. You can't control them. Why don't you give them to God? You've been trying long enough. Give them to God. It don't mean that you can't be the parent. It means that you got to give them to God and quit trying to control everything that happens. Give them to God. Your ministries, give them to God. Quit trying to control everything. Your church, hey, give it to God. Supposed to be a light to the community. We're supposed to be going out into this world, see lost souls saved, but yet we try to sit here and try to act like we've got it all figured out and we've got everything down pat, and you can't come in our church if you don't believe this way and act this way and wear this and don't wear that and don't sing it this way and don't sing it that way, and that's a bunch of hogwash. Why don't you just love on people every once in a while? Why don't you just act like you care for them just a minute? Because I'm here to tell you right now, this is just light afflictions that we go through in this earth. They may seem like they're so important, but I don't care how extreme it gets. It's just light afflictions. We got something far better to look forward to, folks. You got to let go of the basket. You've got to understand that God is always in control. You let go of the basket, God will use you. And He will use you in a way that you never would imagine. He'll use you in a way that you couldn't even have comprehended. I can imagine that this unnamed mother sitting over there thinking, man, he could just be a Sunday school teacher. He could be a singer. He could just, you know, clean the church. He could cut the grass. He could do all these things. And those things are important and they're great. But God even had a greater plan for it. He's sitting there saying, hey, if you'll give me that basket right there, I'll let him write the first five books. I'll let him see me in my glory. I'll let him lead my people out of bondage. You see what I can do with him if you just let me have him? And you see what I can do with him? Now, yeah, you might grow a good person. You might have grown a good Christian that sits in the pew and does what he's supposed to do. But what can I do with him? Woo, it's a lot better. So much better what I can do with him. The situation that you're holding on to, the situation that you've got your hands on, if you just give it to God, just think what He could do with it. You sit there and say, well, I can't tell somebody else about Jesus Christ, but you could if you'd give it to Him. But I'm too timid to give it to God. He might take it away from you. He might say, oh, wait, I can do it. I can do it. I can help you just a little bit if you'll just give it to me. Just be willing and give it to me. He don't just take it from you. He wants to see some willingness. He wants to see you grow. He wants to see you say, hey, God, you can have it. Sit there and talk about Isaac going up on that mountain. He wanted to see some willingness that Abraham was willing to slay his own son. Did he know that he was going to make a way? Yeah, he knew he was going to make a way. He knew that God could do something, but he kind of thought maybe God would kill him and then he'd bring him back to life. But he knew that he had to try. And in the process of getting ready to kill his own son, God said, hey, hang on. You showed yourself faithful. There's a ram over there. Let's do it this way. Let's do it this way. I just wanted to know that you would do it. I just wanted to know that you could let go of the basket. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to this morning? You could be holding on to a lot of different things in a lot of different situations. I have no idea. As a Christian, you could be holding on to what your ministry should be or what it could be. Maybe you're holding on to the fact that you can't talk to others about Jesus Christ. Maybe you're holding on to the fact of a bad marriage or bad finances or all these different things. Just give it to God. You say you make it sound so simple because it is so simple. The times in my life when I've actually got down before God and said, you know what, just take it because I can't handle it anymore. Guess what? It feels like such a burden comes off of me. And it may not happen like I think it should, but it happens. And it's so much better than what I ever can imagine it being. Maybe you're bad because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And you're trying to control your own life. And you're trying to sit there and say, hey, I've got this under control. I'm here to tell you right now this morning, you don't have it under control. Because when you stand before an almighty God one day, you'll find out that he sits there and tells you to depart from me to iniquity. I never knew you. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you're holding on to that basket and you're saying, I've got this under control. I'm here to tell you, in eternity, you don't have it under control. When eternity comes, it won't pan out like you thought it was. It won't be like you may think that it was going to be. Maybe you thought it was going to be a party. Maybe you didn't believe all this stuff. I'm here to tell you, when you get there, you'll believe it. You'll believe it one day. I sat in a room with a 16-year-old kid in a juvenile detention center. I was 15 years old. My dad was preaching and a bunch of men didn't show up. That's like the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody gonna go until Sunday morning and ain't nobody there. But we gonna go win them for Jesus until I have to get up early. And we can go turkey hunting, but we ain't gonna get up and go do them for God. That's amen. So, a bunch of men didn't show up. Daddy's preaching his heart out. It's me and him. Altar call. 7 boys want to get saved. Amen, hallelujah. Daddy says, I'll take 6, you take 1. Oh, God, I got to talk to this kid now? Big old boy. And I remember sitting in there with him, and I remember going through that process of showing him in the Word of God how he knew that he could be saved. And I remember him looking at me just as plain as day, and him sitting there saying, well, I just don't know if I completely believe it. He said, what if it's not all real? What if this is just fake? What if this is just tales that we hear? What if this is not really real? And I said, okay, let's just take your point of view and say that it's not. You die and nothing happens. You die one day and nothing happens. You just go in the dirt. I lived a good life. I was a good, upstanding person. That's what I'll be remembered for, right? I had good friends. I believed in something at least. And I had no problem giving a couple hours to Jesus Christ, even if he wasn't real. It was worth it to meet the friends that I did and to believe in something and to just keep you going. If everything that you're saying is true and nothing happens, okay, then that's the life I lived. I really didn't miss out on a whole lot. But if mine is true, then you burn in hell. And I got scripture to back up mine. They said, well, they don't all believe the Bible. They all do. Let's just get real. They all say they don't. But they all do. At some point in time, you sit back in yourself and God will prick that heart. There ain't been one single solitary soul that's ever walked the face of God's green earth that God hadn't said, hey, what about me? What about me? One way or another, he gets their attention. You say, well, I've heard they've said that they never, it doesn't matter what they never heard. It doesn't matter what they never saw. I'm here to tell you right now, God's pricked their heart. God does the work, not me, not you, not the other preacher, not the next preacher. God pricks the heart. And God don't want to see one of them die and go to hell. They all know he's real. They just may not want to admit it because they don't want to let go of that basket. They're still trying to control their own lives, trying to control their own thing. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're doing that this morning. I'm begging you, don't do it any longer. Get it settled. Get it fixed before eternity comes, because it's coming quicker than you can imagine. This morning, if you're saved, you've already accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what are you holding on to that you need to give up? You can be a more effective witness. You can be a more effective Christian. You can do something for God if you'll just let go of the basket. Maybe you need to give your children up to God. Maybe you need to give your finances up to God and your marriage to God, because He can handle it way better than you can. Like the lady said, He can control those things way better than I can. Much more effective. So this morning, as we have our invitation time, as the piano player comes to play, you need to think about these things. Are you holding on to something? Are you holding on to a basket? Do you need to let it go, whether it be a Christian or whether it be a lost person? I'd love to pray for you this morning. You can come down to this altar. I'd love to be able to take the Word of God and help you the best way I know how to. I don't have all the answers, folks. Never claim to. But I do know that He can help you. And I do know that He wants you to just let it go and quit trying to control things. This morning, as you stand to your feet, bow your head, close your eyes as she starts to play. Business with God, I beg you to come down to this altar. I don't drag out invitation times very long, so if you need to do business with God, come down to this altar and get things right with Him. Maybe you're holding on to that basket you need to let go of. This is your moment in time as she plays.